everyone, Sam here, your mother of Valkyries and host of the Sword and the Riven podcast. As many of you know, the name of this podcast was inspired by the book A Court of Silver Flames by Sarah J. Maas. We all love Nessa's story of growth, mental health, and finding her family. Nessa's decision to try and conquer climbing 10,000 stairs is something many readers connect with. It's the idea of deciding to complete something that others may consider impossible. And with her determination, perseverance, and training, she's able to complete her goal. But just because Nessa's journey to climb down the 10,000 stairs is iconic, doesn't mean it was ever meant for us to actually try. Recently, I've seen this trend on social media called the Nesta Stair Challenge. The challenge is to try and complete walking 10,000 stairs, usually in one workout, and usually on a Stairmaster machine. As someone who fell in love with Akasif and can see parts of herself in Nesta, I totally understand the idea that we all want to be like her. I mean, I do too. Why else do you think I would have created the entire Valkyrie Squad program? But we don't have to be exactly like our favorite characters for them to be our favorites. Like, just because I didn't ride a Wyvern doesn't mean I can't love Manon Blackbeak. So while the Nesta Stair Challenge is impressive and motivates so many people to move their bodies, it's actually quite unhealthy. And look, I understand this episode is going to ruffle a lot of feathers. A lot of people really want to complete this challenge, and a lot of people may disagree with me. But as your mother of Valkyries, I care about every single one of you, just like Uncle Iroh cares about Zuko. As a licensed fitness instructor, I want to always make sure that each of you are training in the safest, healthiest way. And because of this, I'll say it, I don't like the Nesta Stair Challenge. So let's talk about the reality of Nesta's stairs. Because to understand the challenge, you have to understand what Nesta's stairs actually looked like. Chapter 8 of Akasif says, "Still snarling, Nesta yanked open the heavy oak door and peered down the steep, narrow stairwell. Spiral stairs, each a foot high." Let's talk first about the actual step height, aka how tall the actual stair is that you are stepping up or down. Nesta's steps were each a foot tall. That's 12 inches. And the standard construction stair height is 7 inches. A Stairmaster machine can range from 6 to 8 inches in stair height. Nesta's stairs are literally almost double our normal average everyday stair height. When you picture the House of Wind stairs, picture one stair the same height as two of the stairs in your home or on the Stairmaster. So Nesta's 10,000 stairs is actually closer to 20,000 stairs. And because my producer wanted to know the math, one of the 7-inch average stairs is actually only 58% of one 12-inch stair for Nesta, which means that Nesta's 10,000 stairs would actually be about 17,241 of our average stairs. And that's only going down. Not only were Nesta's stairs way taller than ours, the quote said they were part of a narrow staircase. It's a national and I believe international regulation in most countries that a staircase should measure 34 inches in width. So from wall to wall on either side of the stair is 34 inches. The smallest width, or most narrow a staircase can be, and still be under code, is 26 inches. That's just over 2 feet wide. Nesta's stairs may have been even narrower than 26 inches wall to wall, but most likely they weren't more than that. Because, duh, there were no stair regulations in Valarius or Prithian. Besides the stair height and the narrow staircase, let's keep reading about Nesta's stairs in Chapter 8 of Akasif. 10,000 steps, around and around and around. Only the occasional slitted window to offer a breath of air and a glimpse of progress. Nesta's stairs were not just straight up and down floors, or just facing one direction like a Stairmaster machine. They were round and around and around in a spiral all the way down. And to keep the stairs narrow, it was most likely a pretty tight spiral. Also, because Valarius doesn't have stair regulations, there probably wasn't a railing on the side of the stairs. The House of Wind staircase also had to be pretty dark. If the windows were only occasional and so small you only got a glimpse of your progress, they must not have let in very much light. An account on Instagram called Data and Books has this great graphic of just how high up Nesta's steps were compared to modern landmarks. And yes, these graphics will be shared to the podcast Instagram page. Let's take just 1,000 Nesta-sized stairs. That doesn't sound like too many, right? Think again. The Eiffel Tower in France is as tall as Nesta's 1,000 stairs. How about 3,000 steps? Those are the same height as the Dubai Burj Khalifa building, which is the tallest building in our world. 6,000 steps? Well, that's just the height of the Rocky Mountain Range, with the highest point in Colorado. And all 10,000 steps is the Alps Mountain Range in Europe, specifically Mount Zugspitze, part of the Alps Mountain Range and highest mountain in Germany, which is just about 10,000 feet, or 10,000 of Nessa's steps. I actually came across a video on TikTok that I am going to also share to the podcast Instagram about the 10,000 stairs and how they are nothing like the 1,000 stairs we would walk. The video is from a creator whose job is to help people train to climb actual mountains, like the Rockies or even the Grand Canyon. They talk about how Nesta was originally living at sea level in most of Frost and Starlight, and then she went to living and training in the House of Wind at altitude, way beyond where most people would start to feel altitude sickness. About half of people who climb above 8,000 will eventually feel symptoms of altitude sickness, which include headache, loss of appetite, feeling sick, vomiting, feeling tired, or exhausted and dizziness, just to name a few. And guess what? Nesta also got sick. In chapter 8, again, it says, she could do it. She couldn't do it. The dizziness hit her first. Winding around over and over, eyes trained downward to avoid a slip that would kill her, caused her head to spin, her empty stomach churned. On Nesta's first try, she made it down 100 stairs and then climbed back up, so really 200 stairs. And she literally couldn't get off the floor, she was so sick. Even Cassian had to help her in chapter 8, which says, he threw her a crooked smile, glad for the distraction. You can't get up, can you? Her arms strained, elbows buckling. Go fly into a boulder. Cassian pushed off the wall and reached her in 3 strides. He wrapped his hands under her arms and hauled her up. She scowled at him the entire time, glared at him some more when she swayed and he gripped her tighter, keeping her upright. And don't forget, even our favorite bat boys had a hard time going down the stairs. Cassian tells Nesta about it in chapter 8. He says, I got so dizzy on the hike down that I puked on Az. He then puked on Reese, and Reese puked all over himself. It was the height of summer, and by the time we made the trek back up, the heat was unbearable. We all reeked, and the scent of vomit on the stairs had become horrific. We all puked again as we walked through it. So everyone mentioned in Akasif who climbed the stairs struggled with altitude sickness. If you don't live in an area where you can hike severe changes in the altitude, you may think this isn't a big deal. But it is. Valkyrie Val was one of the squad members who attended the meetup last year where we climbed the Manitou incline. This is what they had to say. I know people constantly give her shit for being so winded at the beginning, just going downstairs. But 2 very important things to note. Each individual stair is 1 foot. That means that the House of Wind is 10,000 feet in elevation over the rest of Valaris, minimum. The elevation of Denver, Colorado is 5,280 feet. The House of Wind is nearly twice as high as Denver. She was suffering from altitude sickness. I have been to the top of Mauna Loa, which is at an elevation of 13,679 feet, and I could barely walk around without getting dizzy. No shit, she struggled. Here are a few more stats about the incline in Colorado. There are a total of 2,768 stairs to the top of the incline, and those stairs were all different heights. The base elevation is 6,600 feet, and the summit is 8,550 feet. Which means you are hiking up at about 2,000 feet in elevation gain when climbing those stairs. And when the squad climbed the incline, some of them unfortunately struggled with altitude sickness. Even a few of them struggled just being in Colorado Springs because the elevation was such a drastic change from where they live. All of the elevation gain from the meetup was way less than the elevation change Nesta was experiencing when climbing the stairs. We not only climbed less in altitude, but we came prepared. I made sure to tell the squad, be prepared, just like Scar, but less evil villain. Everyone brought all different kinds of things to help them keep going. We brought energy bars, apples, which are my favorite because natural sugar just hits different, nuts, energy goos, electrolyte water packs, or drinks to help keep replenishing your body because you sweat them all out. And most importantly, every single Valkyrie brought water. So much water. Nesta would have needed water and so many other things for her to make it down all 10,000 steps. Without all these things, she would have passed out, like, on step 1,000. Her progression was unrealistic with how many steps she was able to complete without the proper preparations. Even with training and trying over and over to complete the stairs, it's still unrealistic for her to complete all 10,000 stairs the way she did. But Nesta's Fae, and we're not, unfortunately. Sucks, but here we are. Even Nesta knew that if she had been a human, she wouldn't have been able to make it. Again, in Chapter 8, she says, 10,000 steps? She was no longer human. This high Fae body could do it. She could do it. And we all know what happened. She actually couldn't do it on that first try. And as much as we want to be high Fae and hear one of the bad boys whisper in our ears, we have to remember we are human. Nesta wasn't at this point. She might be fine making all the way down 10,000 stairs without water. You would not be. Nesta gets a magical house that provides her with food, water, and anything else she might need on the stairs. And to much of our disappointments, there was no magic tree on the incline to give us exactly what we needed. You would need to prep and pack a ton of things before you set out on any kind of hike with a dramatic change in elevation, which adds additional weight to yourself you need to compensate for when you climb. Nesta didn't bring or carry anything with her each time she went down the staircase. I think it's important to compare our reality to Nesta's because it keeps us grounded in remembering our story is different from Nesta's. Even if we see similarities between our story and hers, the worlds we live in are completely different. Her abilities are completely different than our own. No matter how much we train, our bodies will never be able to compare to the resilience of high Fae. That's just our reality. But if you want to escape reality and embark on our extraordinary journey through the realms of literature, check out Bookish Babe Retreats. This episode is sponsored by Bookish Babes Retreat. Have you ever wanted to attend Camp Half-Blood? Immerse yourself into a world of literary wonders and bring your favorite books to life. Join this year's Bookish Babe Retreat in Van, Texas, September 6th to the 8th for an experience like no other, where you'll be surrounded by fellow bibliophiles, captivating events, and the chance to forge lifelong friendships. From author meet and greets to a book swap library to s'mores and stories with narrators and even a Gossip of Mermaids pool party, the retreat offers a haven for those seeking to indulge in their love for books. Did I mention I'll be there too? And teaching sword fighting. But it's not just about the stories on the pages. The Bookish Babes Retreat is a sanctuary where you can build connections that will endure beyond the final chapter. Engage in unique group challenges, exciting games, and collaborative activities that will deepen bonds with fellow retreat attendees. Escape the confines of reality and let the Bookish Babes Retreat transport you to a world where books are cherished, imagination knows no bounds, and the joy of reading is celebrated. Head to the website bookishbabesretreat.com for more information and to grab your ticket today. And I can't wait to see you there. Another way Nesta's actual journey climbing the stairs is different than this viral stair challenge is she was actually going down the stairs and not up them. Some of you might be thinking she actually had it easier going down the stairs, but that's wrong. It's actually a lot harder to climb downstairs than it is to go up them. Climbing downstairs uses different muscle groups than climbing up. When you go upstairs, your body uses several muscles to lift yourself up, like your hamstrings, quads, calves, and glutes, to name a few. Walking downstairs involves those same muscles and adds in all the muscles in your back to help stabilize your body. You risk losing way more balance while going down those stairs. And actually, more people fall going down a mountain than climbing up one. Going downstairs also puts a huge amount of pressure and force on your knees. When you go downstairs, the force on the kneecap is 3.5 times your body weight. And for example, I'm just choosing this number for the sake of easy math because I'm a trainer and we don't math. If you weigh around 150 pounds, your knees will actually carry the force of 525 pounds on them. For such a small area of your body, that's a lot of weight to carry, which explains why people struggle going downstairs more often than up. When you go down, you also use muscles to slow yourself down, aka your brake muscles. But the average person doesn't train those muscles, making them weaker and us more unstable coming down the mountain. There's a reason that the meetup Valkyries in Colorado only went up the stairs on the mountain and did not climb back down them. We all took the trail back down the side of the mountain for safety and because we were all tired as fuck. Going down the stairs will also not feel anything like climbing the Stairmaster machine in the gym. You're only meant to climb up the machine, and I would not advise climbing backwards on or down the machine as you could seriously injure yourself. With all this talk of climbing actual stairs, I can hear some of your thoughts all the way across the sea about how climbing the Stairmaster is different. And you're right, it is different. But that doesn't mean it's different in a good way. When you try and do the climb challenge on the Stairmaster, it's really just about the number count and hitting that number. If you just hop on the machine and try and go for 10,000 stairs, you could seriously injure yourself. Most people actually just go in cold without any training and try to complete the challenge. They end up tired, exhausted, most feeling defeated because they couldn't do it and could possibly end up hurt. Some people think that training will be the solution to this. And while training is good, most people tend to overtrain their body. Overtraining is when a person doesn't adequately recover after repeat intense training. It can cause fatigue, declining performance, and possibly even injury. Most people striving for those 10,000 stairs don't take the time to deload. Deloading is a short time of recovery from your training. You usually complete lighter trainings, maybe work out a little less, and generally just ease things back in this time. Deloading is so important to help keep you from overtraining. Let's compare the stairs to running a marathon. You wouldn't go run a marathon without training. You would go for runs and increments to build endurance. And you would have many, many runs of all different lengths before you would run your marathon. Even the Couch to 5K run program out there has you start in intervals. If you have never run a 5K before, you would feel absolutely drained if you completed it in your first day. You don't even start running a mile in your first day of the program. You start with walking 3 minutes and running 1 minute. It's not about a mileage goal to start. It's about building endurance to keep yourself safe and starting slow so you don't fatigue your body and making sure to take those deload recovery days. And once you've completed your marathon, you're not supposed to stop moving. Even that day, they recommend you keep walking after you finish your race to give your body the proper time to recover. Then you adjust your running schedule to be back down to shorter daily runs because 99% of people are not going to run a marathon every day. There's a reason I created Valkyrie Squad to start at Novice Month. If I just tried to throw you into serious kickboxing and sword drills without any idea of the basics, you wouldn't have been happy. You wouldn't have had the balance to stand on one leg and kick. You wouldn't have had the endurance to keep up with the sword strikes or even complete the whole workout safely. You probably would have gotten super frustrated and maybe even quit. So I started you off with the basics of breathing, footwork, and moving your body to build your endurance and get you prepared for the next level once you are ready. After all that, if you still want to do the Nesta Stair Challenge, I want to make sure you know how to do it in a safe and healthy way. In my professional opinion, I would go for time versus step count on the Stairmaster. A step count is such a big goal on a Stairmaster that it's easy to give up on it or push ourselves to limits where we end up injured. Seriously, don't try to hit all 10,000 stairs all at once because it will fucking wreck you. So start off with 15 minutes and go at a slow pace. Do not, for the love of God, lean on the rails. They are meant to help balance you if you feel you will falter. I cannot tell you how many people in the gym I see supporting themselves with their arms to get through steps. If you feel the need to support yourself like that, that means it's time to get off the fucking machine. Once you are feeling good with 15 minutes, start adding 5 minutes every few sessions. As time goes on, you can slowly increase your pace as well. Document your step count after each session, because as your pace and time increase, you can watch your step count grow. If you need something to help your time go by a little faster on the Stairmaster, you can try my old routine. I'd spend 5 minutes walking up the stairs normally, the next 5 minutes doing side steps on one side, 5 minutes doing side steps on the other side, and then the last 5 minutes skipping steps. It's a 20-minute routine in total, and I would go at a slow pace. The reason I want you to start slow and build upon it is to give you a sustainable routine. The alternative to the Stairmaster is trying to complete 10,000 steps in a day. Daily steps are enough because most of us don't have access to a Stairmaster anyways. It's about pacing yourself by walking and accumulating steps over time, not in one go. Not just trying to hit 10,000 steps tomorrow. 10,000 steps is actually the recommended daily step count from the CDC, National Institute of Health, and Mayo Clinic. But these are daily steps, not stairs. I'm sure that's where SJM got her number inspiration for the number of stairs she chose for Nesta. But again, she knew Nesta was high fae, not human. Many people actually live more sedentary lives than recommended. They sit at a desk all day long or sit driving for a living, and they can have a hard time just hitting 5,000 steps a day. That's why in Valkyrie Squad, you see each week go up in step count to eventually get to 10,000 steps. It's about the progression. It's hard to get all those steps in, but the steps in the program are to keep you moving even on your days off from training. Whether it's on a walk, cleaning the house, or just chasing the kids in the backyard, there's so many ways to get those steps in. I did 3 miles yesterday just by doing chores at my house, cleaning, and then I did 1.5 miles outside, walking to the coffee shop, there and back again. Just like Frodo couldn't walk to Mordor in one day, neither can you. And speaking of Frodo, I absolutely love the Fantasy Hike app. It calculates your steps each day of how long it would take you to walk to Mordor. It updates your daily progress of how far you've walked to Mordor and how far you have still left to go. You can even connect with friends to see how far they've traveled to Mordor too. Apple users, you can find it in the App Store, and we will post the link on the podcast Instagram. And I'm sorry, Android users, it does say that they're still working on a version for you. And by the way, this is not sponsored by Fantasy Hike or Apple Watch. They're just really the only way I know these things and a fun way to stay motivated. No matter which way you choose, here's a tip. Try not to do it on leg intensive days. I know it sounds like a good idea, and gym talk likes to tell us that it's an optimal time and to do that and build XYZ, blah, 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 blah. But you're exhausting the muscles too much, aka overtraining, because you have to have a longer recovery time. Overall, I just want you to feel comfortable and safe on the equipment and get the most out of that challenge. Now that I've talked forever on this episode, I have one question for you. Why do you want to climb 10,000 stairs? Do you want to do it just to be like Nesta? You can also train to be a Valkyrie like Nesta in the Valkyrie Squad program, so why the stairs? And what happens after you complete the 10,000 stairs? What comes next? Are you going to climb 10,000 stairs every day, once a week, a month? It's not a sustainable fitness goal. It's not something you can do every day or over and over again. You hit the 10,000 stairs. Yay. Awesome. Wow. But now what? Sustainable fitness is a daily habit and one that takes time to cultivate in our lives. Just like Coach Jenna said in episode 20, it starts small, and with consistency, you can build lasting habits. The point is to stay active for life. Humans were not meant to be sedentary creatures. We moved, we migrated, we farmed. And while a lot of that has been taken away from us, our bodies are hurting more and more from staying still so much of our lives. Sustainable fitness also means our fitness needs can change and fluctuate over time. For example, heavy lifting may not be what your body needs anymore. Maybe it needs more mobility, or your brain needs that quiet, slow breathing of yoga. Reaching this goal of 10,000 stairs isn't something you're going to complete every day. And just because you did it doesn't mean you can't do it again. It also doesn't mean you even want to do it again. Maybe you hate stairs. That doesn't mean you have to do them. Workouts should be enjoyable. You should have fun with it. Why do you think I created so many themed workouts for the Micro Squad? Because I have fun with them. And also want you to have fun. Even in Akasif chapter 44, it says, "The training would sustain her, funnel that rage, but there had to be more. There had to be joy." This week's piece of Cauldron Blessed Wisdom is a reminder to remember your own white ribbon. Or as Mufasa told us, remember who you are. Akasif and Nesta had a huge impact on so many of our lives, mine included. We all really connected with Nesta's journey and had been so inspired to start a journey to climbing our own mountains. In our excitement to start badassery training, we can sometimes forget that Nesta's story isn't our own. When we try to channel Nesta, Gwyn, and Emery's Valkyrie vibes for our own lives, we can forget that the white ribbons they trained to cut all represented different things. And while part of Nesta's white ribbon was physically conquering the House of Windstairs, it wasn't Gwyn or Emery's, and it doesn't have to be ours. We can still be a Valkyrie without climbing 10,000 stairs. And even though we all might want to be called Lady Death, we have to remember that Nesta's white ribbon is different from our own. This week's action item is to try the stairs. I know so many of you feel connected to them, so I want you to try them. Go to your staircase or the stair stepper and walk up and down, or just up the stairs for 10 minutes. Since so many of you tell me that I have the best workout playlist for the micro squat classes, I decided to create a playlist just for this. Head to the podcast Instagram for the Spotify link, turn on the 10-minute playlist, and start climbing those stairs. While you're climbing, pay attention to how you feel, both physically in your body and mentally. When the 10 minutes is up and the playlist ends, stop and evaluate how you feel. How does your body feel? How are your knees? How would you want to do this for 100 steps, 5,000 steps, 10,000 steps? Did you like doing stairs? Was it fun or were you dying? Because I fucking hate stairs. Remember, you should enjoy your workouts, even when they're hard, and enjoy moving your body. And if you absolutely hated the stairs and never want to do them again, that's okay. You do not have to love the stairs to love Nesta. You don't have to love stairs to be a Valkyrie. You don't have to use stairs at all in your workouts if you don't like them. There are lots of other workouts out there that don't involve stairs at all, and you can find tons of examples on the Micro Squad website. If you did like the stairs and found them enjoyable, then great. You can add them into your workout routines as often as you like. Just make sure you are adding them in a safe way, like I talked about earlier. You can always email me for suggestions. Whether you choose to add stairs to your workout or not, remember your mountains are yours to climb, and only you can define and cut your white ribbon. And until next time, be strong, kick ass, and be fucking magical every day. This episode was produced by Bex Castro, Mia Garlock, and Carolyn McMorrin. Special thank you to Taylor Ash for creating the music of this podcast. And thanks for listening to The Sword and the Ribbon by the Micro Squad. If you're interested in learning more about the Valkyrie Squad, visit us at thevalkyriesquad.com. If you're interested in learning more about the Micro Squad or Geek Gym for a class, visit us at themicrosquad.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts from so you don't miss out. And if you like this week's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.